all a very happy Mahashivratri to all of you. This is a wonderful thing about the new technology that you may be celebrating these festivals, but you still will be involved in doing something interesting and useful. I am very delighted to give this talk to IIM Lucknow as a part of Azadi Ka Amrit Mahotsav. As all of you have said, I dedicate this talk to the memory of my father, Shri Jagdish Rajvanshi, who was a Swatantra Senani or a freedom fighter. In fact, he went to jail for 2.5 years in 1942 movement. And in 1946, when he came out of Lucknow jail, he liked Lucknow so much, then he settled in Lucknow. And that is where I was born and raised. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But I must really thank Priyanka, Dr. Priyanka Sharma, for inviting me. After all, you cannot refuse an invitation from IITK alumni. In fact, I am delighted to know that IITK and IIM have a very long and strong partnership and bonding. In fact, one of your first directors was Dr. G.L. Batra, who was the IITK a faculty member, and he was my contemporary in IIT Kanpur when I was there. In fact, he worked with my father because my father was a vice chairman of planning commission in UP and in Bahubanaji's cabinet, and Dr. Batra was one of the advisors. So it is really a wonderful thing for me to participate in IIM Lucknow talk. Now, Priyanka wanted to talk to me to talk about my life's journey. I do not know why anybody would be interested in my life journey. I am a very small man, ordinary man working silently in rural Maharashtra. But she was very insistent. And so I will talk about my life journey. And in through that process, I'll tell what we have done. And since she has given me this wonderful platform, I will also use it to pontificate, because I love pontificating to younger people. All my talks are to IITs and IIMs, and I feel that the younger people are the future of this country, and they need to be told what can be done and how they should participate in making this country great by helping in rural development and using all their knowledge for the upliftment of the masses, around 60% of whom live in rural India. So without ado, I will now start my talk. I'll try to share. It's visible to everybody?
Yes, sir. Now it's visible.
Let me expand the screen. I don't know. Okay, it's now visible?
Yes, sir. This is clear.
Wonderful. So my title of my talk is From Lucknow to Rural Maharashtra via USA, A Journey of Local Boy. And I hope some of you will be interested in this. My name is Anil Rajvanshi. I run a small NGO called Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute. This is in a place called Fultan, which is 100 kilometers southeast of Pune. And it's in a taluka place. And whatever we do is on our website, narifultan.org. It's a very nice website, again made by one of my engineers who was also from IIT Kanpur. And I hope you can see that to see what we do. I was born and raised in Lucknow. My father, as I said, was Jagdish Prasad Rajvanshi. He was a freedom fighter. Then, since you all are from Lucknow, you know Hazrat Ganj and the big office of the railways. So in front of railway office used to be our koti. And that's where I was born. Right now there's no koti. It is just an LIC building. And so that was all razed, because in the 1960s flood, the koti became unlivable. And so it was razed. I studied in Cathedral in San Francisco, and I did my senior Cambridge. In fact, it was the last time where the senior Cambridge was there. I think it was an Indian school certificate. The senior Cambridge last was 65. So I passed in 66. Then I was very much inspired by Gandhiji at the age of 13. My father, on my 13th birthday, there used to be no internet, there used to be no mobile phones. So the main thing was books. And I was a very avid reader. And so my father gave me on my 13th birthday, the Gandhiji's Experiments of Truth. This was a Hindi translation. And as if by switch, it opened up something in me. And I was very inspired by that. At that age, what can you learn very much? But his early life inspired me very much. And this led to some very interesting spiritual experiences. Why I'm telling you this is that has implications later in my talk. And you can read about this, what those were. Because I have written extensively about my experiences, about myself, and so on and so forth. So I'm very nicely portrayed in the internet world. Then from San Francisco, I went to IIT Kanpur. And in those times, there were very few coaching classes. My parents' precarious, the situation of finances was not enough that I could go to any coaching classes. So study very hard. And luckily, I got the JEE 29th position. And so I got my mechanical engineering, which I wanted very much because I was very inspired by steam engines. And that is why I wanted to be an engineer. So I did my BTech and MTech in 1972 and 74. I have written quite a nice memoirs of during my IITK days. I hope some of you might read, those of you who are from IIT Kanpur. I did my BTech, then I wanted to go to United States as most of the IIT Kanpur students did. I could not get any scholarship because IIT had not yet become the brand name as they became later on. So it was not very easy to get universities. And so I joined my MTech, and in 74, I got the Government of India scholarship, which was a very fantastic fellowships in those times, and which allowed me to go to University of Florida. These scholarships got closed later on because almost everybody who went on these scholarships never came back. And I was one of the very few who came back. In fact, it was also very interesting when I came back, and naturally I came back. People who came back, they came to some big cities. And I'm very proud to say that probably I was one of the first IITian to come to rural India in 1981. After 3 years when I had come to India, I got a call from the Ministry of Education that we hear that you have come. So I wrote to them that I am very happy to, first of all, know that you have woken up. I said, I have been here for the last 3 years and this is what I am doing. So they never replied to that. I did my PhD in mechanical engineering, basically solar energy. In 1979, under a very world-renowned solar energy expert, Eric Farber. In fact, that is the reason why I went there, because solar energy was a very new thing. And he was one of the leading authorities on, especially the person who was well known for working with his hands. Then I taught there for 2.5 years, in fact, because I worked under him. So immediately the university offered me appointment of faculty, and so I taught for 2.5 years. And then also I met my wife. So not only did I get my PhD, but I also met my wife, which is also wonderful. She was doing her PhD in agronomy. And she, Nandini Nimkar, and she is the reason why I came to Fulton. You always follow your wife because she's my boss. She's a president of my institute called Nimkar Agricultural Institute, her name, Nimkar. So what your boss tells you, you do it. She's also a distinguished alumna of University of Florida. In fact, she's the only Indian and also a foreigner to be so chosen. There is a very nice plaque right in the center of the university with her name on that. So she is very distinguished. In a fit of madness and arrogance, I came to rural India. And I've written about this. It's called as a 1970s America, an Indian student journey. This is a book which tells about my journey from IIT Kanpur to America, all the experiences there, and back to rural Maharashtra. The madness, because I felt I'll do wonderful things, not knowing the ground reality. And initial months were very tough. Fulton was a place where, in order to make a long distance call, I would a lot of times hop on the bus, take a 4-hour journey to Pune and make the phone calls. There was nothing available. It was just an overgrown village. And so for small things, you would go to Pune to get it. Still, there are a lot of things which are not available. There's no good medical facilities and so on and so forth. So one has to go to Pune, but now the roads have slightly become better. I have always believed that you have to be foolish. If you are not foolish, which means that you first jump and then find out where you are, you will never do anything worthwhile. Initially, when I came, after all, I was a rising star in the University of Florida system. There were other organizations in America who wanted me because solar energy was coming up. So I had a lot of offers, and you can read about all of them in my book. And within 6 months, I felt very, very dejected because there was nothing yet. It was a flat piece of land. And so there was once a very strong thing about to go back. But then I said, I used to give lectures. I was the president of the India Association at the University of Florida. And I used to give lectures to all my classmates. But let's go back, do something worthwhile for the country. And I said, if I also join them, then I'll become another data point in 1 million people, because the whole country was going to the United States in those times. So I always have believed that you have to be foolish, you have to be mad to do something different. And the journey was not very easy, but it was very interesting. And the reason why it became interesting is because of the janoon, and that is what I would like to tell to the youngsters. And through this medium of IIM Lucknow talk, I would like to talk about that. I also had a tremendous arrogance that I will change India. You know, when you work with one of the leading labs in the world, I was running a very large program, around $1 million per year in 1979. $1 million per year was a very huge amount of money. And I could get the Nobel laureates, I could get some of the top people to come and give lectures to our program. And you get this very big thing in your head that you can do anything in the world. So I felt very arrogant that I'll change India. India is a very ancient civilization. It did not change, but it changed me. Living in rural India taught me humility, spirituality, and sustainability. And this is what I will talk about as I go along in my lecture, because this is what all of you should do. Most of you come to IIMs because you want to make more money. You leave your technology, you leave so many things because you just want to make more money. We have this tremendous greed in this country, more and more money. And that is what has really, I do not know what it has done, but it has skewed the thinking process so much that it is not a very happy state of affairs. And through this medium, I would like to tell all of the students and others that there's something more than just simply making money. Since 1981, I have tried to practice all these, though I have not been very successful, but it is a work in progress. And I feel that whatever I have done, at least it has given me satisfaction, it has given me happiness. And I hope that the same thing I can inspire the youngsters to do and let them help the country reach great heights. The most important requirement for staying and working in rural India is to have janoon or passion. If I did not have a janoon or passion, probably I would not have lasted for more than a couple of months. It was just a janoon to do something. And when you have the janoon, all the pinpricks, they are nullified. You don't care about what people will say and think. Now, there were a large number of my classmates who used to say that, you know, I have done harakiri, etc. In fact, majority of these guys are big shots in Silicon Valley. So when I go to give lectures now in Berkeley and etc., so they always say, now they say, what you have done a wonderful thing. But at the time, they all said that I was doing a harakari. So I said, I am doing what I feel like. And it is this passion, this feeling, what you feel, which gives you happiness, is the most important thing that I think the youngsters should inculcate. If you are all the time thinking about what people will think, whether you have made enough money, how successful you are, success is defined by the money you make, then I don't think you will do anything. And the best jobs naturally are the banks, and the biggest army naturally you can rob a bank, so you'll get even more money. So your own passion and happiness should be the guiding force that should guide you in doing something wonderful in life. I feel that the country can only progress when bright engineers, scientists, and managers with dedication. It is not a one-day affair that you go and touch because of romantic notions, but it requires a tremendous dedication and to solve the problems of rural India. 60% of our population live in rural India. Their quality of life is very low, as all of you know. There are two Indias. One is India of the rich, and the other is India of the poor. I'm sure a lot of you give lip service, but how do we solve it? You see, we have this great thing in this country that we criticize all the time, but we don't provide solutions. If all of us, we are not stupid people. We are very intelligent people. After all, we are running the world. We run Google, we run Microsoft, we run everything. Most of my classmates are big shots in Silicon Valley and in senior positions, so almost presidents, vice presidents of universities. Why can't they do and help this country? So we are intelligent people. What we need are dedicated people who can solve the problems of our own rural poor. I and my wife run this institute called NARI, Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute. As I said, Dr. Nandini Nimkar is the president. We work on the areas of research and development in agriculture, renewable energy, animal husbandry, and sustainable development. And we have many first to our credits. I'll not give you all the details. You can read them very thoroughly in our website. It's a very extensive website. They are giving details of everything. We just crossed the milestone of being more than 50 years old. It's also a very creditable thing to have an NGO which is more than 50 years old. And so you can see also what our impact and et cetera is. Our institute was started in 1966 by Mr. B.V. Nimkar. B.V. Nimkar was my father-in-law. It was registered in 1968. It was nothing else but just a huge piece of land with one or two small buildings. In fact, I show you the NARI farm in 1981. When I came through some contacts, I first went to see S.L. Kirloskar. S.L. Kirloskar was a very big name in industry. And my family's connections were there. So I went to see him in Pune. And he said, "What an idiot you are. From IIT Kanpur to University of Florida to all these things, and then you are coming back to this small," because he being a Maharashtrian, he knew what Fulton was. So I said, "I don't care, but you come and lay the foundation stone." So in those times, in 81, only JRD Tata and S.L. Kirloskar had their own planes. Nobody else had planes. So he sent his pilot to see where the hell is this guy's lab is. So he looked around, and what I show in the NARI farm, this was our land. So when he went back, he said, S.L. Kirloskar called me, he says, "There's nothing there." So I said, "That is the reason why I called you, to lay the foundation stone." The reason why I'm telling you that when I came, this was how it was. It was a very barren land with no greenery. Only thing that we had was water. These are our farms. Farmers had given us at a throwaway price because there was nothing to be grown. So we, as an institute, we were allowed the water from the canal. So we started the process. And now if you look at the Google, the same place you cannot even recognize because it's full of greenery. And a lot of good things have happened. This is the main building, which was built in 1980. This is a renewable energy lab. This is our new building, animal husbandry building. And this is a Bajaj Center, which is Bajaj Center for Sustainable Development. It's also, we can hold courses and we can have a place where people can come and stay for a couple of days. We do work in research and development in agriculture, renewable energy, as I said before. We try to use the best tools of science and technology for solving rural problems. Whatever problems exist around us, we try to solve them. We have not been very successful all the time, but at least we try to attack them. We are not interested in what is happening in the United States or what is happening in other places. Whatever around us are the problems, we try to solve them. We have a total farmland of around 100 acres. At the time we got this land, it is now very productive, but at the time it was on a throwaway basis, so it was given very cheaply. We don't have very big staff. We just have a staff of 25 with 7 scientists and technologists. In fact, we have purposely kept our institute small because I think that one can do wonderful work by being small. Otherwise, you end up just doing nothing else but paying salaries. And if you do this work for your own passion and happiness, then that is the most important thing, is to run it so that it gives you satisfaction by creating technologies and creating solutions. We work on shoestring budget, and we always need good people to help run our institute. So if some of you are interested, I'll not give you any money, but there is a tremendous area where you can contribute and see how, with your knowledge, you can help in the rural areas. And I've written also a book on our renewable energy work, what we have done in the last 35 years. It is called The Romance of Innovation, a human interest story of doing R&D in rural setting. And I have made all my books available free of cost on the net because I believe the knowledge should be freely available and people should read and, if possible, get inspired. So I'll tell you a little bit about NARI's contribution. So we were the principal author of the national policy on energy self-sufficient taluka, which was managed by MNRE from 1996. And in fact, it started the whole program of biomass-based power generation. It was also the genesis of the Pura program of President Abdul Kalam. So we were very proud. This was done in early 1990s. And I am told that there are 150 power plants of 10 megawatt each all over the country. What stage they are, I do not know, but at least this is how it started. Then we developed the electric rickshaws in late 1990s, as you have seen all over the world, all over the country, electric rickshaws. Nobody was even thinking about electric rickshaws. I, coming from Lucknow, wanted always to improve the rickshaw. And so we started this work in 1995. And in 2000, we developed and showed the first electric rickshaw. And naturally, it was copied and left and right by everybody, though we patented it. But patent has no meaning till you defend it. And we are a small institute and we don't have the money to defend it. But I'm very happy that the idea simply spread. And now there are a large number of electric rickshaws which are supplied all over the country. Then we developed a very unique program of improving cooking and lighting technology in rural areas, and which led to us to pioneer the concept of rural restaurants, where we felt that the poor people should be given food. Because when we were working in trying to put our very improved land stores, this was a device which was both giving the heat and the light to the huts, we saw that the quality of food that the people were eating, and especially the woman who came after working in the sun, she was supposed to cook for a complete meal for everybody. It was a very horrible affair. And they don't eat well, and they were spending 400 to 500 rupees per month in medical bills. And then we looked a little more deeper and we said that the most important medicine for a poor person is food. All these things start happening because they're not getting enough food. So we developed this concept of rural restaurants. It was taken by Tamil Nadu, and I'm happy to say that Amma's Canteen and then the Shiv Bhojan Thali came from our concept. And the funny part was, in 2012, when I presented this concept, I had put a thali price at 10 rupees. And even today, the Shiv Bhojan thali is 10 rupees. And the SP party in UP has made as a first, one of the main planks for their in the election manifesto, that they will provide thali for 10 rupees. So this is how the thing spread. And I'm told that there are close to 1 to 1.5 crores of people are fed through this process. So this is probably a good thing and a small contribution of ours to the betterment of rural areas. Then in early 1990s, NADI set up the world's largest program on the production of ethanol from sweet sorghum. We pioneered the development of sweet sorghum. Sweet sorghum is nothing else but jawar. So we developed a variety which had very high sugar in the stem. You still got the grain for the bhakri or the roti. And then this sugary juice could be fermented and produce alcohol. In 1988-89, when we developed this, Government of India was least interested in alcohol. So we didn't know, and then they started telling us, why are you distilling it? Because we set up the first plant in the world running completely on solar energy. This is 1988, which distilled ethanol from sweet sorghum. But the upshot was that we became the only institute in India to join the EEC Sweet Sorghum Consortium, which was the Italian, which was a house in Italy. And our varieties were grown in around dozen or two dozen countries. And now this sweet sorghum is a good program. I think 10 to 15 universities in this country are working on sweet sorghum. Then in late 1990s, we pioneered the concept of using ethanol as a cooking and lighting fuel for rural areas. I feel that this is a very useful thing, rather than putting it in a very third-rate car, which is 2% efficient. Alcohol can be used for cooking and lighting, but naturally the excise laws don't allow. But it is now being used by World Bank, and there are quite a number of countries in Latin America and South Africa and Africa where they are going in a very big way of using ethanol for cooking. We also developed the first non-spiny hybrid of safflower. I'm sure that a lot of you must have eaten safula oil. It comes from our variety, safflower. We were at one time one of the largest producer of safflower varieties. And we also developed solar powered safflower petal collector, because the flowers are very spiny. And in order to pluck the flowers, which are very good for hypertension, we sell them as they're called now the Fulton petals. And some people also use them for adulterating into the saffron. Then our loose biomass gasification program, we started in the late 90s, and it became a very big thing. And then in early 2000, we developed a fantastic program of introducing FECP gene in the existing Deccan sheep. So the twinning took place, for which we got the CSIR's highest award. And this has now gone all over the country, and wherever the sheep breeding, the shepherds are there, they take material from us, the artificial insemination, and the twinning takes place, and it increases the wealth of the shepherds. What I'm telling you is that all these things came because of the problems that existed around our area, and we tried to solve them in whatever way we could with limited resources. Then now we are doing a very interesting thing of development of potable water for rural areas through rainwater harvesting and cleaning it by a low-cost, unelectrified solar system. In fact, in 2016, our technology was taken by this organization EFC. It's a combination of ASME, IEEE, and Engineers Without Borders as one of the 10 life-changing technologies from India. And now it has been copied by a lot of people. And we want to put this in the rural schools, because the rural schools have very poor quality of water, and the children who drink it, they really suffer a lot from diarrhea, etc. Our efforts have also shown how small rural science and technology institute working on shoestring budget can pioneer technologies for rural India. And I think this is something which is very, very interesting. And all of you MBAs, if you can help in expanding upon this concept throughout the country, setting up the roadmap, how it can be done, I think this will be a very challenge, great challenge. It will help the country. Now, doing this, we have gotten some awards also. As I said, Dr. Nandini Nimkar got the Alumni of Distinction in 1997. I was selected as a US Solar Hall of Fame. I am the second Indian to be so selected. This was set up by the United States Congress in 1976. Then I got the Jamnalal Bajaj Award from Dr. Manmohan Singh. We got the Platinum Jubilee Award for our rural development from the Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee. And for our work in safflower, we got the highest award from the Indian Society of Oilseed Research. And then we got all these Padma Shris and Vasant Rao Nayak Award and so on, all these things. This is just when you live for a little longer time, you just keep on getting these awards. Awards are not very much of any value. What is value is if we can do something worthwhile. I don't think we have done very great worthwhile things, but it's just that we have been able to at least show the way and give ideas. And I hope that it goes on a much bigger scale. Now I'll tell you, since you know Priyanka wanted my journey, so this journey continues. I also write a lot on spirituality. And I think when you start looking very deeply for truth, you ultimately become spiritual. Spirituality is nothing else but looking deeply at anything. And that is the basis of Patanjali Yoga. Patanjali says a focus on any single thought for a very long time leads to the secret of that process. And that is the basis of all great discoveries and everything. And the beauty of this is that when you do that, you also start all the, you know, as I said, Janoon and everything, they come out of it. And then you don't worry about the pinpricks, because then the focus of attention is only your passion and interest. And that is what I personally feel that youngsters should be taught. You see, you can always teach them about something in physics and chemistry and engineering, etc. But what is not taught, how to be good citizens and how to focus on something. Today we have become just like animals, we react. If I send you an SMS and if you don't react within a couple of seconds, I get very jittery. So I don't look at the internet video, I don't look at my mobile, I don't have any, what is called a social media, but I think it's a waste of time. I have this small place, I sit, think, reflect, and write. So deep thought also improves and removes fear. All the people who are going for MBAs and etc. is a tremendous amount of fear. Unless until I make money, what will I do in life? You know, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. In 2006, I gave an institute lecture in IIT Bombay. Institute lectures are the most prestigious lectures. So when you are invited for institute lectures, I've given institute lectures in a lot of, you know, 3 to 4 IITs. So when you give an institute lecture, then you are a very honored guest. So they asked me, what do you want to do? I said, I would like to have a discussion with the students. So in one room, around 40 to 50 students were called, BTEC, MTEC, PhD. So I said, I'll ask you some very tough questions. So they thought I'll ask them some engineering questions. So I asked them, I said, what is the purpose of life? So they all kept quiet. IIT students keeping quiet is a very big thing. But then there were some smart kids. So one of them said, to have a good life. So I said, that's also wonderful. Define a good life. Then again, there was some silence. But then somebody again said, a good house, a good wife, a good car, job, this and everything. So I said, very good. This is your definition. That is fine. I said, how much it will cost? And then there was a total pin drop silence because nobody had done the calculation. This is 2006. So I said, I have done the calculation. It's around 6 to 8 lakh rupees per year, you can have all this, all these things. So I said, why do you want 15 lakhs? Because 15 lakhs was a going rate for an undergraduate student of IITs in those times. And then again, there was a pin drop silence. And then somebody lifted his hand and said, for rainy days. By the time I was getting so worked up, so I said, what a tragedy for this country that we are, you are starting your career with fear. Whole world's fear and this huge baggage is on your shoulder. Your parents tell you to make more money. Your peers tell you to make more money. You don't even know what to do with that money. So this is something which I feel is really strange. And I think that happens because we don't give time to ourselves. We don't think, reflect, and sit and find out what is the purpose of life, what we want to do in life, whether we will get happiness or not. Because from one job to another, you are always looking for money and no happiness. And you will keep on amassing wealth and you will not know what to do with that. Then partly due to my spiritual experiences in childhood, I started to look at the relationship between technology and spirituality. In fact, I have written a lot on this and I have also tried to apply the same intensity of scholarship in spirituality as I have done in my technology. In fact, I do a lot of brain research work and how our deep thinking and what happens in the for the memories and etc. And I do this deeply and interesting work. I followed Patanjali because the conquest of nature leads a yogi to focus on higher things. And this is what he has written in Vibhutipad. Have been writing on this issue for the last 20 years. In fact, my more than 150 articles have come in Speaking Tree column in Times of India, and a lot of my articles in Huffington Post, Thrive Global, all these places I write. And you can read all my writings in this website. I also have two books, Nature of Human Thought, and my latest book, which should come out in next 2-3 months, Exploring the Mind of God, or How Technology Guided by Spirituality Leads to Happiness. And I have made all these books available free, and I think it will be very interesting for some of you to look at them. And I believe that the mantra for India's development is spirituality with high technology. Spirituality gives you wisdom, high technology because we cannot survive without technology. But how do you use the technology can only come when you become spiritual, because otherwise you'll become like Putin, who is now trying to destroy the world. We need the vivek or the wisdom to utilize the technology. I've had the great satisfaction of meeting some of the pioneers of atomic energy and space program in the University of Florida. I met with Von Braun, who was a very dear friend of my professor. I met with Stanley Ulam, who was the father of hydrogen bomb. He was my colleague in the University of Florida. And they were all very great pioneers who worked in the Manhattan Project. So I used to discuss with them. I said, what made you work on this stupid thing called atom bomb? So they told me, at least Stanley Ulam told me, Anil, we never thought about the stupidity. It was a great challenge. We worked on it because it was one of the greatest challenges for mankind. What happens when these things happen? How can we harness the energy? It is these stupid journals and et cetera who did that. But what I'm saying is that not only we should be working on producing these technologies, but we should have the wisdom to utilize those technologies. And I believe that the mantra for India's and world development should come with this thing, spirituality with high technology produces happiness and sustainability. So what is the way forward? And this is my pontification. Develop janoon to do great things. This requires a focused mind. Yoga and meditation helps. This will help you become spiritual and help in reducing greed. Greed is the biggest scourge of mankind. It will also help reduce fear and anxiety. Because when these things are reduced, then you really work towards doing something wonderful for mankind and not focus on your own small selfish needs of amassing more wealth and not utilizing it. and practice frugal living. In fact, frugal living comes automatically when you reduce your fear and anxiety, because then you realize that what is the need? You know, after all, you wear one shirt and one pant. Why do you want to have 100 shirts and 100 pants? You'll drive one car. Why do you want to have 10 cars, 15 cars? So this is something which I have tried to live for the last 35 years. I've written about it. It has become very famous. In fact, it is now used by quite a number of universities to tell how sustainable living should be. And I hope some of you will also, and every one of you should try to put, because I have put some numbers also, how much energy I use and different things and so on. So it's a very interesting exercise. Also practice discipline. Switch off cell phones and internet one day a week. Read, think, debate, and work with your hands. Write blogs. Anything that gives you or helps in your creativity should be the thing to go forward to. Use library extensively. Lots of material is not digitized. In fact, when I have my engineers, all the time they are on the internet, and a lot of times they can't find the things. I brought 1.5 tons of material from America, to all books, when I came back. In fact, the custom man told me what a fool I was. I never bought a car. I never bought a TV nor a refrigerator. He says, you bought all these books? Are you mad? After 7 years? So this is genuine. I still believe that there are a lot of material which is not digitized, and one should go and look into all these things. So I think, read about humanities and anything that catches your fancy. In fact, whatever I am today is because of the extensive humanities courses I took in IIT Kanpur. I used to max those courses. In fact, there was a very famous professor, Ashraf Ali, who was a political science professor. He told me I'm wasting my time in mechanical engineering. He'll give me PhD in political science in 3 years. And because I used to score A pluses, but I believe that when you study more on humanities, it gives you a well-rounded personality, and it is much more important than just simply learning your mathematics and other things. They're also important, but read about great classics of India, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Panchatantra, etc. You know, most people just read them to the comic books. For whatever we, during the summer months in IIT Kanpur, we used to have 8 to 9 volumes of Mahabharata. We used to read them. Panchatantra was given to me 3 volumes when I was in the school as a present, and I read it. It is unbelievable the type of books that we wrote in those ancient times. They are as relevant today as they were that time. And I have written a lot on all these things in my writings, and you should read them, and you will see that there are very hidden gems. I'm not saying that we should glorify, because modern times and are also important, but I think we can learn a lot of things from them and try to see how they are useful right now. Increase your intellectual capital. This is the right age. What you do here at this age will define you the rest of your life. Strive for excellence in whatever you do. And spirituality helps you reduce greed and helps produce sustainable living, as I have said before. Spirituality will also help you focus on challenges, help you develop Janoon, be attached to the story of India, and help solve the problems of this great country. You are the future of this country, and so help it to become great. Be associated with NGOs like ours. We are always looking for good people. And if some of you who are even the professors, etc., will be very happy if you help us and see what we can do together. And that is what I have tried to do and live in my life. So this is a small presentation that I, as Priyanka asked me to talk about my life, and this is what it is. Thank you very much. And these are some of the useful links that you can read in.
Thank you so much, Anil sir. This was absolutely insightful, and I knew that I'm going to love this a lot, and I'm sure if each one of us learned so much about your journey, about a way of living, about what each one of us should think, reflect upon, and Definitely, it solved the purpose of inviting you for celebrating the Azadi Ka Amrit Mahotsav. So, in the interest of time, I would open the forum in case anybody has any questions for Dr. Anil Rajvanshi.
You can also send me the email. I'll be very happy to reply.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. I think that's very nice. So, anyone, any quick questions? Ankur, Ankur.
Thank you so much, sir, for coming and giving the way to actually live beautifully. I just wanted to ask you one thing that like a couple of weeks back, I went to my village after 12 years. And it was very difficult for us to live there for 2 or 3 days, be it like the water or standard of living. So how did you manage? Firstly, did you get frustrated when you came back from Florida to a rural India? And secondly, how did you, if yes, how did you manage to surpass that level of frustration?
Now, you're a student or a faculty?
Sir, I'm a student of first year here.
Good. So read my books. You'll get all the inspiration that you need. What were the forces and how you overcome them. And, you know, just going for a day and two, like a romance, does not help. This means if you really want to do something, you just have to slog it out. It is not something, you know, what you're talking about, the same thing I also saw when I came here. But if I had just left and packed, then I would not be talking to you. So do that. Frustrations are always there. But as I said in my talk, if you have the Janoon, then the Janoon takes care of a lot of these frustrations. Because then the focus is so strong that the frustrations go at the background. Okay?
I have a small question.
Yes.
As you, I'm Prakash, I'm a faculty. You have a very good foundation because you started reading the life of Mahatma at the age of 13 itself. But what happens if the generation didn't get that such a foundation in the early? So probably they have not read such books and they were already 25 or 30 kind of things. And then what they build, what it reflects is what the foundation they get in their childhood.
Yes, that is true. Because
on how to overcome such things.
You see, I don't blame them because, you know, children are smart in every times and etc. I blame my generation, your generation, because we need to guide them. What is missing in this country are the great teachers. You don't teach only your subjects, you teach about other things. And the inspiration of the great people is something that is missing in our curriculum. I don't want it to be a curriculum based, because curriculum again is you pass exam. But we should continuously keep on exposing these children about these things. For example, when I came here, there were no good schools. I and my wife, we were very strange people. We were there for 7 years after marriage, but we never wanted to have a child in America because we never believed in this, that a child born in America, then they'll become a citizen, etc. I said, if we both came to America, our children should also come on their own. So we had our first child. I have two daughters. There were no good schools in Fulton. We started our small school. It's a Marathi medium school. It is now a very well-known school. My younger daughter is a trustee and runs a school as a passion. And this is what we try to do in that school. I give lectures about Gandhiji, about how the freedom struggle. Because, you know, today is a very sad thing that the narration that is being taught to the children is very wrong. It is not based on the history. So in order to change, but at least rectify. So I give lectures to the students on all different things, sleep and dream. In fact, I tell them to read TED Talks. And next month, I myself am giving a TED Talk in Prayagraj or the Allahabad. So these things help the students get tremendous imagination. and exposed to a lot of things. Because, you know, most of the Indians who leave this country and go abroad, they have very little attachment to India because they are not attached to the story of India. When you are living in cities, etc., all the time you are thinking about how bad it is. Everybody is telling you how bad it is. What can you expect? You would like to run away from here. This country is a great country. We need to tell the youngsters, you know, there are problems. Sure, there are problems. But rather than helping the problems of San Francisco, why don't you help the problems which are around you within 6 to 8 feet? And this is what is missing. Because a very smart brain, once it is challenged, it takes the challenges. And that is what gives Janoon, and that is what gives the things to do, wonderful things.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anil sir. That was really insightful. One last question for you. Do you think Gandhian principles still hold true?
Yes, very much. In fact, I've written a lot on Gandhiji's, and I would suggest that when in my writings, there's a whole section on Gandhiji and about all these things, because I have studied very thoroughly Gandhiji. I was very lucky that I met a lot of people who, not a lot, but quite a number of people who were associated with Gandhiji. And I think Gandhi is something which is extremely relevant today. You see, what happens is that all the great people are prisoners of their time. So you just cannot, the thinking of Taliban and Mao's thinking was, you always quoted either Quran or Mao's writings. What you need to do is to read between the lines. All the great thinkers and all the great people, they said things, but they were the prisoner of their time. But their basic philosophy is as applicable today as it was when they enunciated in 19, whatever it is. In fact, my article on Gandhi as an engineer was quoted in Nature magazine because people didn't realize that Gandhi was a great engineer. And so, you know, people don't read the in-depth things. And if they read that, then they will realize how relevant some of these things are.
Very true. Very true. That was very, very inspiring. Definitely very inspiring in itself for each one of us. And I can guarantee that each one of us are taking a lot from this particular session, this particular lecture. And
the only way I'll know that you are taking a lot is when you come and help me. Because otherwise,
yes.
it becomes a that's what Gandhiji taught, that if you want to do something, if you want to participate in something, do it yourself.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. I would love to come there and spend some time.
I would like some students to come and slog. As this gentleman said that he couldn't live for more than 2 days. I'll put him here without air conditioning, without anything else. Let him slog. I'll make sure that he survives. So that's how he'll learn.
Absolutely, absolutely, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you once again from entire IIM Lucknow for taking out time and addressing us on these very pertinent issues. And Professor Arunabha, can you just...
I just would like to ask you, this is being recorded. So
yes,
can you,
sir.
You'll be sending me...
I'll share with you.
Okay. Okay.
I'll share with you after this recording is over.
Thank you, sir. It was a very insightful talk, and we did learn a lot about how you went about actually making the changes on the ground level, and it's really tough, and how you could implement that. And I'm sure all of us would love to be a part of it. And you have also requested and encouraged us to, as the IIM Lucknow community, to come and be a part of it. I'm sure we can, in some way, join in and actually make India more stronger with the. And with that, I'd like to again thank you very much, sir, for this very interesting talk of yours, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
And also, since I am from Lucknow, I asked Priyanka that you should invite me physically.
Yes, sir.
But she said right now the situation is not there. So anytime you invite me to Lucknow, I'll gladly come. Okay.
It's a pleasure, sir. Next time you're in Lucknow, please
thank
do
you,
come to the campus. We would love to host you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Okay, I'm leaving the meeting now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.